Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. And who out there this weekend is going to make a big bowl of popcorn and just veg out on the couch for hours and hours on end watching Game of Thrones?
So many adventures. So much to be thankful for.
Or a whole season of Veep.
Sue, did the president call?
No.
No.
Or Orange is the New Black.
I have been starved out, felt up, teased, stalked, threatened, and called Taylor Swift.
Breaking Bad, you bingers out there, put your hands down. But hey, what if people could download a whole year of The Takeaway? Binge listeners, you rule. I suppose that is something only my mom and dad out in Minnesota would do. But increasingly, it's the way people consume television.
I just caught up on season 3 of Game of Thrones, and I'm really upset. I'm current now. I've got nothing to binge on. I'm like, I have to wait till Sunday.
I only binge, I feel like. all my shows are in chunks of 2 or 3 when I can, and it's definitely House of Cards, Game of Thrones, Orange is the New Black.
I still binge on Scrubs pretty much every day.
Mazel tov.
It's my favorite. It's been over for 5 years, and I still binge watch it.
Let's go now to the Tribeca Film Festival right here in New York City, where TV was center stage. Here's Bo Willimon, former campaign worker, now writer and creator of the Netflix hit House of Cards, talking about how online viewing habits have rocked his world.
You have on Netflix viewer sort of scores, like they do stars and they can write little reviews and stuff like that. Now, it's a particular subset of people who take the time to do that, who are invested in doing that. But I find it interesting sometimes when a season comes out to go and look at the 1 and 2 star ratings. And in a way, I find it liberating because you realize that there are certain things, like if you kill a dog in your first 30 seconds, people say, I'm not going to watch this show. I don't like dogs being killed. You go, well, okay, great.
I did not know that.
That person is not meant to watch this show. That doesn't mean I'm going to avoid killing dogs in the future. You sort of realize what you can let go of in a way.
And then there was David Simon of The Wire, who says entertainment and storytelling is not about data.
The only place where I'm attendant to data is in deciding why I want to tell a story. Why is Baltimore a violent city might be a predicate for making a television show about Baltimore, or in this case, The Wire. So how violent is it? What's the nature of the violence? Who's getting killed? Why? That journalism part of it stays with me. That's my original training. Once you're in the realm of actually telling a story and being a storyteller, I have absolutely no interest in what the audience thinks. And it sounds totalitarian to say I'm not writing for the audience, but I've talked to a lot of writers, and you're servicing the story. You're servicing the characters. You bring a world on. You feel responsible to the world. And if you look over your shoulder for a moment and start saying the audience wants more Omar, the audience wants more Stringer, you know, that's why TV was a juvenile medium for most of its existence. It was very much attending to what keeps them here every quarter hour.
We're building something here, Detective. We're building it from scratch. All the pieces matter.
David Simon and Bo Willimon were part of the Tribeca Film Festival's Future of Film series, and I was the radio guy moderator. Together, we media dinosaurs were trying to avoid the flaming asteroids of disruptive viewing patterns in the era of Netflix and all the scary implications of what you can do with big data in the media and entertainment world these days.
This isn't the actual example that Netflix gave me, but I'll just pretend it was. It's like this. They were just looking at the data and they go, all right, well, there's all the people that like Sopranos, right? And for whatever reason, 10% of those people also love 2 and a Half Men, like two totally different types of shows. And no rational mind, no studio exec, no network exec would ever say that's a Venn diagram that should overlap. But the data said it did. So they said, all right, let's push 2 and a Half Men in the suggested for you row to all the Sopranos people and see what happens. And what they found is actually it's closer to 20%. Some people clicked on it, like, oh, I never thought I'd like 2 and a Half Men, but I do, you know, and vice versa. So what is the reason for that? Maybe there is no reason, but there's a correlation that expands people's horizons and that you never would have arrived at without big data or total data.
What do audiences want? What are the two currencies that work with certitude in the entertainment industry? Violence and sex. And as a journalist, I didn't care what the audience's presuppositions were about the issues I was covering when I started to cover them. I wasn't trying to service the political attitude of the viewers. You know, that's why we have MSNBC and Fox right now. So you can watch the news that gratifies what you think you already know about the world. And basically, the entertainment culture is the same way. The entertainment culture is the same way, which is, I like cop shows, I like when they do this. And if you find a show you like, the attitude of the viewer, and the reason that I tune out the audience is that what the viewer wants is, the stuff you did in the first season that I really liked, do more of that shit. And I really like this guy Omar, give me more Omar. The audience is like a child. And you're saying, you know, here's your meal, we've got some potatoes, we got some vegetables, and the kid's just going, I want the ice cream.
But there's another way of thinking about it, and that is not doing what has worked, but, and to quote a network person at Netflix, to seek the white spaces where there is no show that could actually supply a set of desires right. that the audience doesn't know it wants. And Netflix has done that.
And that might work for the entertainment industry. And if you think Americans aren't yet entertained enough as a people, good. We can get ourselves more entertained with that prescription. Okay, let me knock it down to where the only place that I care about data is. Let's go back. Why do people kill each other in America? Why do we kill each other? Why are we the most violent developed nation in the world? Well, 165,000 people were killed in the last full decade, from 2000 to 2010. 165 Americans were homicide victims. Anybody want to take a guess at how many were the victims of serial killers? You know, it's under 1,000. And that's including, you know, a percentage of unsolved that we might attribute based on the known solved. Okay? Serial killers are not our problem. Does anyone want to chart up the number of exhaustive sort of neo-pornographic indulgences that occupy our whole national essence when it comes to discussing violence? We don't want to really discuss why we're killing each other. What is the entertainment culture contributing, if anything? I came out of journalism, and the only stories I'm interested in are what might actually happen in a given city. And that has no currency with audiences. Audiences don't know what they want except what they, you know. We want it to be evil. We want it to be bigger than evil. When, in fact, the problem might be sort of systemic and us.
David Simon of The Wire and the series Tremé, and Bo Willimon of the Netflix series House of Cards, speaking with me at the Tribeca Film Festival before a live audience. Our topic was all about big data and how online viewing habits are changing the paradigm of television, but it was Bo Willimon, a huge fan of The Wire, who reminded us that binge TV viewing is nothing new, and it was invented by the audience, not some executive at Netflix.
The way I watched The Wire was I binged it. I mean, I wasn't there the first two seasons, and by the time the third came out and all of my friends were telling me it's the most amazing show of all time, I either on demand or through box sets or whatever, I watched three seasons over the course of about a week and a half and agreed with them. So in terms of writing the show, and I can only speak to House of Cards, it has to work both ways. I mean, when we teamed up with Netflix, we knew that releasing all in one day was a possibility, but not an inevitability. We might go week to week. And
you did get a two-season deal, right?
We did get a two-season deal. That really affected the writing, knowing that you had 26 hours and you could lay just a tiny little grace note in the first episode that might not boomerang back until 26 hours later. Mm-hmm. That really liberates you. And taking the pressure off fighting for your life, you know, the way that my friends who work at network television, you know, must when literally you're only as good as your last week's ratings. Right. So, you know, you feel the compulsion to have big cliffhangers or to force and contrive the drama to jack those ratings. I didn't have to deal with any of that.
They're measuring stuff in the quarter of the hour.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Do they stay with you for the third quarter? Do they stay with you for the fourth quarter?
David, is there anything reassuring about that instead of measuring these quarter hour kind of hamster data, they're measuring bigger
season.
Sets
over a
course of an entire season.
Bigger sets mean you get to get your world up and you get to make a cogent argument for the story you're telling. But I have, if the argument has to be answered with can you sustain an audience on a Sunday night, I have failed consistently throughout the last 110 hours of television. I can't get you to watch a show when I put it on the air. If it exists in some streaming form or in a box set, and word of mouth has some time, people may or may not find their way back. But actually, I don't think what I'm doing quite works for what television still on some level remains. And I think Netflix is breaking the mold. I think, you know, in some ways, HBO was a new window And when they were just throwing stuff up, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when they were throwing stuff up against the wall, the wire could survive for 5 years. I'm not sure the wire could survive.
That's interesting.
The stakes are higher for HBO now.
The stakes are higher for everyone right now, but suddenly in the era of big data, some people have a voice where they never did before. That's David Simon of The Wire and Bo Willimon of House of Cards speaking at the Tribeca Film Festival. Because companies like Netflix have access to huge streams of data about how viewers watch streamed movies, suddenly you can actually calculate mini genres of movies and their followers, like Japanese sports movies or post-apocalyptic comedies about friendship or something really crazy, which you can actually calculate, like assassination, bounty hunter, secret society dramas based on books set in Europe for ages 8 to 10. How scary is that?
It's not like you say, all right, let's go make, you know, a short-form documentary about the Middle East that will make kids 8 to 10 happy, right? It's like still the artists, like, say, they sit at a table, and they write a script, and they put it in someone's hands, and maybe they... You know, you have executives who say, what category does this, you know, fall into or whatever. More often than not, you know, people don't know what they want. And that means executives as much as anyone until you give it to them. And someone has to give it to them.
Do these data categories empower fans of Arrested Development or Veronica Mars and get something made that never would have been made otherwise?
You know, all those shows that broke ground on HBO in that first generation, nobody was looking at any data. They were just saying these were guys who worked in TV like Chase, who had followed the rules of TV to the nth degree, who learned all of its tricks, and now they were ready to write something outside of you know, color outside the lines. And I don't know what it was like on his show, but the only way that an HBO network executive would have landed on the set of The Wire in its entire five-year run and tried to look over our shoulder what we were doing is if their plane on the way to Paris crashed in Baltimore. That's the only way. They were not coming to Baltimore for nothing.
The basic thing is there's no data for the new.
Right.
Because it's new, there's no statistics for it. There's nothing you can't.
But when they're armed with that stuff, they produce, as you said, derivative second, like in the pocket. Like there is a formula now for the, he's an anti-hero, he's on the outsides of society, he's doing wrong, but he has a family. But, you know, maybe he talks to a shrink, maybe he doesn't talk to a shrink, but he's torn up about it. He's got this issue. You know, it's like they just keep watching The Sopranos over and over. It's like they think, catch that fire in that bottle. And, you know, nobody's
thinking about Sopranos with vampires?
What?
Yeah. Sopranos with
vampires. And he's a vampire.
Yeah, and he's a vampire.
You know, and he's got, you know, and like there's just these, it's like cloning. It becomes weaker with every generation. The idea that this data is becoming its own authority on the you know, this is what we should make and scares the hell out of me.
David Simon of The Wire and Bo Willimon of House of Cards speaking with me at the Tribeca Film Festival. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Be empowered. There's more this hour for you to binge on. Stay with us.